Here it is, June 20th. June 20th, 1984.
Ken and I are going to talk again.
It is 20th, isn't it?
Yep. Now, I thought you might like to see Honorable Lyman A. Mills.
Lyman A. Mills? Yeah, was he a tall, skinny gentleman?
No, he was a short, skinny guy.
He looks, that picture, for some reason, I make him think.
No, he's a short, skinny guy.
Good.
And very moderate, and I remember him just like that.
You do?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very plain. Yeah. He worked. He worked at the gun side of them like that. Yeah. Oh, he was all dressed up, and he went with vest and his chains and
the whole works.
Was everything. Yeah.
Now, was he a mild mannered?
Yes, he was a very mild mannered man. Never knew him to get excited about anything.
He didn't.
No.
Is he a fair man?
Yep. 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 And his wife was a cripple.
That's why the elevator.
That's correct. That's right. That's correct.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And he worshipped the ground she walked on.
Yeah.
Did anything in the world for her. There was nothing that cost too much or nothing too trivial.
Was he a wealthy man?
Yes, he was. And he earned it all.
He earned it himself.
Yes, sir. Yep. Yep. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm going to take it right out of the book so that
Tell me what book you're taking it out of.
This is out of the Middlesex County, book, prominent men and women and what have you. The commemorative biographical record of Middlesex County, Connecticut, containing biographical sketches of prominent and representative citizens and of many of the early settled families. And it was printed in Chicago by J.H. Beers and Company in 1903. Yep. And I found it to be a big help. I read it, the whole book, several times.
That book's got to be 3 inches thick.
Yes. It's a good 3 inches.
Yeah, 3 inches.
Well, anyway, Mr. Mills was born in Middlefield.
Oh, he was.
Yep. On February 25th, 1841. He was the son of Reverend Charles Lewis Mills, a Congregational minister, a graduate of Yale College of 1835, and Elizabeth Cole Lyman, daughter of William Lyman and sister of David Lyman, who got the railroad going.
Okay.
A sister of Charles Lyman, who got the farm, and
that's
so forth.
That's the connection with Mills and Lyman.
That's correct. Yep. Yep.
She was her name, maiden name Lyman?
Her name was Elizabeth Cole Lyman.
Okay. Her mother's name?
Her mother was a Cole.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Now, where did they live? Where did Mr. Mills here, where was he brought up as a child in Middlefield?
I don't know. It doesn't say. And I do not know where he was brought up.
Well, did Mr. Mills build this house that we know?
No, Mr. Mills didn't build it. It was there. Maybe it belonged to his father.
Maybe
I don't
that
know.
That was the homestead. That's what I was trying to...
I don't know, Si. And no place in here does it say. They're direct descendants of Robert Cole of County of Suffolk. This is the original code that came. His mother, Elizabeth Cole Lyman, was a descendant of Thomas Wells, 4th governor of the colony of Connecticut, 65, and Richard Lyman, who came to America from High Ongar County of Essex, England, in 1631. So, you see, here's the common background that the Coles, the Fowlers, the Lymans, Millers, and the whole bunch of them have.
Yeah.
Right there.
You go back far enough, it all goes back to England.
Yeah. Mr. Mills went to school in Durham. He was not, have a great deal of education. He went to school in Durham and North Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
Well, why would he go to Durham?
Because there was an academy down there.
Durham, Connecticut?
Yes, sure.
Oh, there was?
Oh, yes. You know where Lou Hinman lives?
Yes.
Almost across the street. Just past the Marriott Manufacturing Company, on the left-hand side.
There was an academy.
Yes, that was a school. Real.
A private.
Fancy,
school.
Private. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He devoted himself, his boyhood in Lyman A. Mills, and attended the academies in Durham and North Bridgewater, Mass., and early developed an aptitude for business and financial affairs. Mm-hmm. He has devoted himself chiefly to manufacturing and so forth. A Republican in politics, Mr. Mills represented the town in the General Assembly from 1895 to 1898. In 1898, he was elected Lieutenant Governor of the state of Connecticut.
Something, huh?
Yep, he was the president of the Lyman Gunside, a director of the American Ringer Company, a trustee of the Middletown Savings Bank, the president of Levi Cole Library Association, and held several positions of trust and so forth. And he is especially identified with the Congregational Church in Middlefield and interested in its management for 40 years. He also...
Civic-minded man, too, that one.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk on another page, too, about him. Mr. Mills was, for many years, a breeder of choice Jersey cattle, and has advanced the interest of dairy farming in America through the well-known herds of Jerseys raised upon his farm. On June 6, in 1868, Mr. Mills married Louisa, daughter of Deacon Alfred Andrews of New Britain, Connecticut. They were interested in the history and so on and so forth, and they can trace their lineage to Thomas Hooker and Thomas Wells, 4th Governor of Connecticut, and so on and so forth. They had two children, but the book only says one. The children of Mr. and Mrs. Mills are Herbert Lee, born February 26, it does say two, and Charles Rowland, born January 28, 1877, who lived respectively in Middlefield and Middletown.
His children lived in Middlefield too, then, huh?
Who?
One of their sons lived in
Middlefield? Yes, in this house. But what he married from here and went to New Britain, and we'll get that right over here.
Now, how far back are we going, Ken? I remember Mrs. Mills over here, that Earl Tewksbury.
Yeah, she's the one we're going to talk about.
She, this man's wife?
Daughter.
Daughter. Oh, daughter-in-law.
Daughter-in-law.
Okay, I wanted to get a handle on how far back we're going.
Yeah, and now we go way over to here.
So then actually it was Mr. Mills.
Well,
Ken, let me just put the date on this.
I shouldn't have used that other tape. There's only a little bit left on
here.
June 20th, 1984, Ken and I are going to talk about Lyman L. Mills. This is a continuation of June 13 tape. Here we go.
All right. Well, Lyman A. Was born in 41. He didn't have much education, a little in Durham and some Massachusetts, but not much. However, his keenness was manifest very early in life. As a young man, he became an official of the Metropolitan Washing Machine Company, manufacturing company, they call it. This was not long after its organization in 1860. Now, he wasn't born until 1841. But he came interested in the company in 1860, which is 19 years.
He's only a kid.
Yep. And from that time on, he was made president of the outfit, just as a boy.
Now, had this to do with the Lyman family?
Not at that time.
No,
not at that time. Lyman A. Mills, the Mills family apparently were interested in it and probably put some money. They apparently were a wealthy family, but nowhere does it say so. Nowhere. He was very prominent in as a manager of the plant. Oh, yeah, he became manager of the plant when 19 years old.
Yeah.
At present, he is president of the gun sight business of the late William Lyman. Now, I told you the other day that he was in the gun sight, but not in the manufacturing part of it, only in the business end of it. And here it is again. He has the care and management of various properties and estates, and is a director of the American Ringer Company, a trustee of the Middletown Savings Bank, president of Eli. I guess we said that before. He held important town offices, and by unanimous vote in 1895, he was a member of the state legislature. This, everybody in Middlefield agreed by unanimous vote to put in Seminole legislature. Serving on the Committee of Finance. Aside from his other business pursuits, Mr. Mills was widely known in the, for 30 years as a successful breeder of Jersey cattle. He and my grandfather were in cahoots, both of them. They traded back females and males and what have you to improve their herds. They brought them from, over from Isle of Jersey from England. You know, they imported cows into Connecticut here. He had two children.
Two boys.
The oldest being Herbert.
Now, which boy would I, not that I would remember him, but I remember Mrs. Mills over here.
Yes, you would remember Herbert's wife.
That's
correct. Okay. We're going to talk about her now. And he prepares for college at Wilson Grammar School, Dr. Hollow Brooks Military College of Briarcliff. He entered Yale in 1887, where he remains for 1 year, taking an academic course, being ranked throughout his state in the first of five divisions into which students were organized. He's always interested in athletics, and while in school, he was on a member of the football team. And on leaving Yale in 1889, he became a clerk for the Ore and Lockett Hardware Company, as the largest retailers in that line in Chicago. In 1892, having gained a thorough knowledge of the business, he purchased what was left of the C&D Lewis Company of New Britain, who was then closing out. As the business was at a very low ebb, Mr. Mills had practically to build it from the start. But he has succeeded in establishing a fine trade. Politically, he is a Republican, but has never actively interested in party management. In 1892, Mr. Mills united in marriage with Bessie D. Kendall.
That's the one that I
remember. Daughter of the late J.P. Kendall of Chicago, and they had one child, Catherine Lyman, and I will add here, who married the son of the lumber company. I'll have to come back to it. And his mother was a big lumber company, huge.
Where?
All over the United States. Anyway,
is it still going today?
Oh yes, it's huge.
Didn't that time a Grossman?
No. And anyway, Mrs. Lyman and they have a couple of children. Socially, Mr. Mills is a member of the New Britain Club and fraternal relations with members of the Washington Commandery No. 1 Knight Templar of Hartford.
We're talking about Herbert now.
Herbert.
Okay.
Now, well, there is the end of the book. And Herbert lived after he sold the business in New Britain.
You remember Herbert?
Oh, yes, very well. Yeah, and Bessie, because my mother-in-law worked there 18 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Mrs. Smith.
Mrs. Smith, yeah. And, but I want to go back to the family now, and talk a little bit about the things that I remember in the family side. I remember all Mr. and Mrs. Mills.
Now you see, you gotta help me out here.
Lyman.
Old.
Oh, Lyman.
That's the
father.
The father of Herbert.
Yes.
Okay. You remember him too?
Oh yes, very, very well. And he had a beautiful, shiny black horse. Oh, and the most beautiful wagons that you ever saw, polished to the degree to knock your eye out.
Yes.
You know?
Well, his farm over here was always a coppery farm, wasn't it?
That's right, and we're going to talk about that too. But Mr. Mills would come out every morning and they would have the men, he had several men working for him. They had that team shining, boy, and that horse was rubbed down. Oh, God, how it was rubbed down. Had a special stall for it at the gun sight. And that wagon was brought up to the gun sight, covered with a linen cloth. Yeah, it just happened every day.
He was a meticulous man.
Oh, indeed. And he never got excited. And if things weren't ready, he didn't make a... I mean, if some of the fellows were late getting the horse out, if they didn't have it out as soon as he wanted it, he would never say a word, just get in the car and drive off. But sometime between then and the next time that he went out with the wagon, he had a little talk with those fellows in a nice, quiet manner and say, "Fellas, this is what I'm paying for, this is what you're here for, and tomorrow I want you at 9:08, or whatever time it was, and you must be there."
Yeah. Don't screw me up.
And his life went along that line. He adored his wife.
And she was a cripple?
Oh, yes, she was a cripple.
We're talking about the old man.
Okay. She was a lovely, lovely woman, and I cannot think of the names of the help, but they had nurses around the clock.
They did?
Oh, yeah, 24 hours a day.
That had to be quite an expense, didn't
it? It did. And the doctor was right there handy in Durham. He came from Durham, Dr. Markham. They did everything that they could for that woman. She lived for many years, say.
And then good.
Yeah. You get on that elevator and the houseman would pull her up.
It was by my rope.
Oh yeah, yep. And pull her up there and roll her wheelchair off so they had a piece of metal that went between the wall of the elevator and the elevator floor so that there was no bump. She should go over that piece of wood, a big thing like that, go over that. There was no bump when she went out of the elevator. And then she was put to bed by the nurses and waited on 24 hours a day. The nurses were on duty.
And they would sleep right there, nurses and the health
staff. Yeah, right there, yep. And they had a cook in the kitchen. And the last one I remember her name. It was Link, Harry Link's aunt. She was a cook and she was also a boozer.
Well, she liked the wine.
Oh, she liked everything. And, oh,
now, that would be
Harry
Senior's sister.
Sister, yep. And, but she was a good cook. And I guess they never worried too much about whether she was drunk or sober, but...
She apparently did her job.
She did her job and did it well, apparently, and she was a character.
That was a busy household over there, then.
Oh, there were many people there.
The people worked there. Your mother-in-law, Mrs. Smith, worked there, too.
Yes, but the grandma came after. She came with the daughter.
Oh, I see.
But they all ate there, Si.
Yeah.
All the men at the farm.
Oh, they ate the farm too?
Yes, they all came to the kitchen, and that's why there's such a big kitchen over there. They all ate in the kitchen. The nurses, the household help ate in a dining room of theirs. Mr. and Mrs., your son is just arriving.
Now, what did I want to ask him? Did these farmhands that ate there, did they sleep there too?
No. The only one was this house over here. Where Art Screen's father lived.
Art Screen worked for...
No, his father. And you know, Art's father was quite a... perhaps not an educated man, but a very practical man on the farm. He knew animals in and out. Oh, indeed, he did. And he knew breeding in and out. And he worked for years over there, even after the cows were long gone.
Oh, he did?
He stayed there long after they were gone. He stayed there as long as he lived.
Oh, he did. And he lived in that house that belonged to Mr. Mills.
Yep. And another thing, we'll get back to the farm in a minute. You want to get all the things at the house that I can think of.
Yeah, we'll skip it around.
Mr. Mills was a connoisseur of art.
We're talking about the old...
Old man, okay. Yep, Lyman A.
Yep.
And that house, practically every room in it was covered with art, all hand paintings by famous painters and local people. And but it had to be beautiful or Mr. Mills wouldn't have it. I remember very clearly because in the fireplace, in the dining room, in the private dining room, they had a lamb, a full-sized lamb, a picture of a full-sized lamb. And that son of a bitch had eyes that no matter where you were in that room, he was looking at you. Yeah. Every place in that room. That damn thing would drive you crazy, you know? Yeah. You go in there and there he was, and that was looking at you, you know?
That must have been quite an artist.
Yeah,
how would you remember this?
Phil Grammer Smith, I've been in the house hundreds of times. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I helped there when Lyman A. died.
And how old would you have been then?
I was only just a young fellow.
Yeah.
Perhaps 25.
You were married then?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And we went there. My father did all the work.
No, you say work. What kind of work?
Carpenter work. Everything. And all the buildings and everything.
Repairing and adding on.
Everything.
Your father did that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you would know.
Oh, yeah. The barn. we had an examination of the property with Mr. Mills every year. He would make an appointment and they would go down and they would look over the property.
He wasn't a picture.
He was a... Right to the word go, Dyke.
Did he write notes to repair this?
Yes, sir. He wrote, had a pad and pencil right here. And they wrote down, and the sills were gone 1 year on the south side of the dairy barn. And that had to be repaired, and it went up pretty well, up into the study, you know. And so we had to do that, but I mean, there was hundreds of places. The new roof, put all new roofs on the place at one time. And
money wasn't a problem.
No problem. And Al Fowler, who was Irby's father, did it before Fred Fowler, my father.
Your grandfather's brother.
Yeah. Al did it for years.
Now, Al, would that be my grandfather?
No. Your grandfather was Arthur.
Al was Irv's grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Irv's father.
Irv's father.
Yeah.
All right.
So then the inside of the house was very beautiful because it was kept as it was. Mm. The fireplaces were, and Mrs. Mills had always a fire in the fireplace. She spent the latter part of her life practically upstairs. She had beautiful sitting rooms there in the sun, you know, in the south. And
was she a nice lady?
Oh, she was a wonderful lady, yeah.
She was.
Never complained. No, never.
Yet she was an invalid all these years.
Yep.
Do you know what happened to her? I mean, why she was?
I do not know, sir. I don't know. But she had two children.
Two sons.
And the oldest one, Herbert, who was in New Britain, married a New Britain girl, and he lived in New Britain all of his married life until his father and mother both passed away. Oh, all right. But before they passed away, they were one of the very early tourists to Florida.
They were, yes. In those years.
They went by train. And they took all the nurses, the housekeeper, the everything, all with them.
Okay.
And they just left the skeleton crew out here. That's all.
They probably got the train right here.
The train right here.
Went to
New Haven, and the car was changed. You know, they never got out of the car.
They had their own car.
Oh yeah.
Money wasn't a problem.
No. Oh hell, money didn't mean nothing to him. No. And so
they
went to New Haven and it took more than one car to contain them all, because they had to have a dining room and everything for Mrs. Mills all in one car. And then they went and had sleeping cars in back, but they worked all day with Mrs. Mills in that car, you know.
You might say she was a little pampered.
That's, I would conclude, yes she was, but she was worth it. She was a delightful person.
You know, a woman like in that position, an invalid, she could be happy as hell.
Yeah, but she was. No, sir. And then they went to Dunedin Forest.
What year would this be, roughly?
Oh, when they started, it was 1912.
I see nothing down Florida.
No.
It's wild.
No. They had a mansion built in Dunedin, Florida, overlooking the bay.
Yep.
And they went there year after year, and they went early.
They must have had a crew down there take care of that mansion, too.
In the summertime. In the summertime, yes.
The skeleton
take care of that. The lawns and the house and everything was taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Now, did he make his money with the ringer shop? Did he have money left?
I don't know. He was from a family that could have had money. I don't know, but he started with the ringer shop plus other.
He was only a kid then.
Yeah, 19 years old. Was a manager of the ringer shop. 19 years old.
Yep.
But he was a financier.
Yeah, he had to be a smart son of a bitch.
He was just like old Kennedy, you know.
Yeah,
and he made his money without having.
He didn't use his hands.
No. He used his head and bought and sold and stocks, bonds, real estate, businesses, industries.
And all these other things that you and I do, he hired them.
Yep. Well, they went to Florida, and it was wonderful. They were out in the country, mm-hmm. and it was beautiful. I saw the place on several occasions.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
I'm sure. You know, if he could see that place now, he'd probably turn over his grave. It was so grown up.
Harry, it became a hotel.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, after they sold it. And they made a hotel out of it. It's right on Lakeshore, Riverside, Bay.
Dunedin, is that west coast or east coast?
West coast, yeah. And they had a monstrous piece of property. Oh, yes. They played croquet all over the backyard, you know.
Yeah, that was the big thing.
And they sat in the sun and... Well, anyway, so then Mr. and Mrs. Mills both became deceased. The house stood vacant for a little while, and then Herbert, who was in New Britain, took over. I mean, it was Wilton. His brother was dead.
Was it still, wasn't the farm then?
No. The farm was gone. The farm went with Mr. Mills's passing.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
He was still farming it when he was alive.
Well, up until he got to the point where he couldn't get around. Because he was not a cripple, but he was in a wheelchair. He was an old man.
He was.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so they kept John on to take care of the property.
John who?
John Screen. And Earl.
Earl Tewksbury Sr.
Earl Tewksbury Sr. was on.
And Earl worked for him all through the years?
His whole life.
He did.
His whole life. Yeah. Earl Tewksbury worked for the Mills family from the time he was a young boy.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
See, I remember him driving Mrs. Mills.
Oh, yes.
Well, in the old packer.
He waited on her hand and foot.
But he was a gentleman. Earl was. I don't know how to compare him to anybody.
Yeah. Earl worked on the farm. Made a pretense of working on the farm. And he had his room there. He stayed there a lot.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yes, yep. And he got most of his meals there. But God, he was there from early morning until late at night. Earl had his overalls there and what have you, and he'd go up and get his overalls to wash the car, you know.
Yeah.
And then run upstairs quick and take a bath and change his clothes and get back in his chauffeur uniform to drive the car, you know.
Yeah.
And that car was slick, boy. Oh, man, they were shown. Yep.
Yeah.
And,
Earl must have had something to get. I remember as a kid just going down there to hang around and help, and we'd help him hay it.
Yeah.
Did he have a horse? I guess he must have had a horse.
Yeah, sure.
I don't see any cows.
No, the cows were gone.
He must have had a horse or two there.
They were there, I think they were Earl's.
Oh, maybe.
And I think that Earl said that if he could keep his... See, he didn't have any barn, and his father wouldn't let him on the place in Potter Hill.
Is that right?
But that's another story.
Let's talk about Earl.
Yeah, we'll talk about it someday. And so he kept the horses, and I would say, Si, that they were Earl's horses.
Yeah, all right.
They were not used for transportation only for farming. And Earl was no fool. And Earl probably got not only the care of the horses, but
that
he probably got paid for their use when he was haying. But there's lots of the farm that is not now used. It goes all the way, this farm goes all the way up to Mickey Fowler's.
Oh,
sure. Well, where the,
still today?
Where Brownie's place is down there.
Brownie Manufacturing?
Yeah.
The old rapparee.
Goes right by there and keeps right on going, right up the hill.
Is that true today? Or
that's
or
true
been so
today.
Long?
No, it's true today.
Then the McGee's own that going up there as well?
I assume so. I never knew that it was changed. And it was, but they used that up there for pasture and for hay and what have you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't practical because it was such steep
hill. Yeah.
But they used to rake the hay down the hill and then load it on a wagon and bring it down.
Well, then they had the meadow across the street.
Oh, yes, they owned, right to the river.
Yeah.
Right straight down. It's a rectangular piece of property, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
I never looked on the map. And so it was a big piece of property. And they had several men to take care of it. John Screen being the last.
Bart Screen's father.
Yep. And then after Mrs. Mills Jr. came in, Herbert.
Herbert's wife.
Yes. Then they got rid of everything after a while. They didn't hay anymore.
How old would you think Herbert was when he back?
Probably 50, 60, 50, 55.
And he sold his interest in New Britain?
Yeah, just as soon as his father died. Because then he didn't have to worry anymore about money.
Enough money.
Fortune.
So he came, Herbert came down here and did nothing?
Did nothing, no.
Did he keep the property up?
Or no, no. He sat out in the backyard and got in his car and drove off with Bessie. And
was he similar to his father?
No, he was altogether different.
Different.
He was lazy.
He was lazy.
Yeah.
Was he smart? He couldn't have been too bad. He bought an old hardware place up in New Britain and brought it back to life.
Yeah, but they didn't say how much money the old man had to pour into it. He had the reputation of being a, what they call him, ne'er-do-well. He just had money and he didn't give a shit. He enjoyed life. Oh, he had a ball.
Was he a pleasant person?
Oh, very. Christ, he'd talk your ear off. Sure. Loved to have anybody come and sit in the backyard underneath the trees out there. Oh, tickle to death. My father said he'd rather work for Herbert Mills than any other man in the United States. Because he spent most of the time sit down talking. Sure. Sure. He didn't give a shit.
What the hell? That money wasn't a problem.
No, he didn't have to worry about it.
Now, was your father on their payroll, or was he?
No, never was on the payroll.
When they needed work, they'd call him.
When he and Mr. Mills took an inventory of the property, then they would make arrangements as to when these things would be done, and it would be on schedule. It was no good. They wouldn't let him paint the house, for instance, until way late in the fall. Because Mr. Mills wanted lots of oil in the paint. Not much lead, but a lot of oil. And,
you had to use the oil when it was getting cold.
Or it run off. But the repair work could be done. The windows could be repaired.
Yes.
The screens could be repaired. The blinds could be repaired and painted, you know, and put away until the time that...
Well, that kept your father busy.
Oh, he worked a lot, sure.
Yes.
Between Lyman's and the rest of the town of Middlefield, he never looked for work. Oh, no. He never, I said, one time it was going pay was $3 a day.
Yeah.
That's what you got.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. But, no. Henry Lyman's house started sliding down the hill. After a big flood, big rain, the hurricane. Well, anyway, we're talking about the Millses. So
Herbert was a retired gentleman that's 50 years old sitting out in the backyard.
Yes.
Now,
his brother by this time is dead.
Yes.
Yes.
What was his other brother, Charlie?
Roland. Yeah. Herbert and he was a vicious man.
Roland was?
What?
Roland was a vicious man?
Yes. Oh, he was powerful and no brains, you know. And, Christ, he'd beat the hell out of an animal.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Chicken got in his way, cracked your ring and neck right off, just like that. Yeah.
He lived with the folks here all this time?
Yeah. He lived home there.
He died home?
Yeah. In a violent fit of rage he was a bastard.
They had their hands full of that.
Oh, yes, they did. They had at one time a guy that just went with him, just stayed right with him.
Yeah.
Because they were afraid that, Christ, he'd get one of...
He'd kill somebody.
Yeah, he was a... Oh, no.
Well, if the family, Mr. Mills, hadn't had money, they would probably have had to put him in a...
Put away, yes.
You're not connected with the coal company.
Well, he didn't always have a guy to go with him.
He didn't?
No, on medical advice, they suggested that he have a woman.
Oh, boy.
Or two.
To travel with him? Did he go around town, did he? Did he stay
They thought that if he got a little peace now and then, that it might calm him down. He never knew what it was.
Yeah, I don't think it would hurt.
So, they hired a couple of horses and... brought them in, and they went to work on them. Couldn't get them. They, he wouldn't touch none of them.
Did they share this with any of the other
local boys? They tried every, all of the tricks there were in the book, and he would have nothing to do with them. No. He wouldn't look at them. He don't get the hell out of it. He didn't want them.
How old was he at this time, would you say? Was he in his 20s?
Oh, no, he was 30, 35 years old. Yeah. Well, not when they brought this. He was in his early 20s when they brought the women in.
Yeah.
And they thought that it might...
relieve some of the pressure.
Yeah, well, but it didn't work. And I wish you could have heard all...
That was Bob, wasn't it?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. Deals. Old Mr. Who didn't... Somebody didn't approve of this?
He approved it. But I was going to say, you should have heard old John Screen, describing as it took place, you know, the account of the...
Oh, geez. Well, this is like a bull service, isn't it?
That's what it was. Yeah. Only in reverse.
Yeah.
And then old John stayed on the farm here until he lost his mind. And
John Screen?
Yes, old John Screen. He lost his mind.
He
saw little men jumping out of the windows and what have you. And then they had to put him away.
I remember Art Screen living in that house. That's where Art was raised.
Right. There were three boys that were raised here. John was the oldest, Art, and Herbert. Herb, we called Nick. He was as black as a nigger.
There,
right? Oh, indeed he was.
You mean from suntan?
The color of his skin.
Was there a nigger in the woodpile?
I don't know, but he was dark. And he drank like hell. So did Art.
Art did too?
And they lived over there with John.
Did Art work for Mills?
Lyman.
Worked
for Lyman.
All his life, I guess.
He was a mechanic down there. The truck and car mechanic. He ran the garage. And Herb worked for Mills over here, ran a coal truck for years. They went to Merton, he went to Merton with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a good worker. And Nick was a good worker. I can't see it now. We were up fishing up to the lake. And a couple other guys, Chuck Johnson and Roger Spencer, I think, and we had bicycles, but poor Nick never had a bike, you know. I never had a real one, a whole bike. It was one made up, it was put up from various different bicycles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I went, and we came down a hill, and I don't know whether we hit some sand or what, but we were right in front of Mandy Johnson's, where 147 used to go up the hill. It still does. I mean, it goes up to the gun sight. It's West Street. And the other one went down the street.
You were coming down?
Down that hill like a bat out of hell, and probably hit a patch of sand or something, and Jesus, we went into the goddamn telephone pole. Oh, Christ almighty, I didn't know anything for about 12 hours. I went to go over the fence. I didn't know what the hell I was doing, and I went to go over the fence, apparently, and Mandy Johnson grabbed me, and a barb in a goddamn fence went into my hand, and I had a
barb wire.
I had a scar, but it's gone now.
Yep.
And Mandy took me into the house, and I walked home. After she thought I was all right, I walked home. I don't remember it. And I went upstairs, and it was a hot Saturday afternoon. Jesus, it was hotter than hell. And I went to bed, clothes and all. the oh, that bed was covered with blood from head to foot. Christ, I was cut in the face and arms and legs. And we wore short pants in those days, you know. Yeah. Oh, God, I remember.
Do you suppose that has any effect on the hair on your head that you have now?
I don't know, but I if people say that you're not too smart, and I say that's right. I got it knocked out of a telephone pole.
Yeah. The grass doesn't grow on a busy street either.
So, but the Mills is, old John Screen was a very fine employee, very trusted. He wouldn't do anything.
Yeah. So now we've got John Screen, we've got Mr. Mills, I'm going to call him Junior, the son of Lyman Mills, and living there, and his wife.
Yes.
Now, apparently he died first because I can remember his wife.
Yes. He just
died of old age.
Well, we haven't concluded with the farm.
Okay.
When Mr. Mills Jr. came along, he wanted no part of the farm, and he couldn't see hiring somebody to take care of it.
Yeah.
So they kept Earl on, and let John go.
Oh, and John wasn't old at that time.
No, he was 50 or 55, maybe 60, but he was still able to work.
He didn't retire?
No. And
so what did John do?
Well, he just stayed at the house there. The kids supported him.
Was that right?
Yeah. They furnished his clothes and place to live and what have you. Paid the rent. Oh, and they charged them rent for the
Mills to build.
And they let the barns go, the buildings go into disrepair.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they didn't touch them. No. Well, there was no more meetings and what have you. If a roof began to leak, they had it fixed. And if it was too bad, they put a new one on. But Herbert wouldn't spend any money on the building. The house, fine.
The old man would turn over his grave.
God, yes, he must have had a terrible time. And so they wouldn't do anything with it, and then Herbert passed on. His family was all grown, so he must have been in his early 70s, 65 or 70.
Was his wife younger than he?
No, a little, but not that much. And she stayed on for 15 or 20 years over here.
Yeah, by herself. Tewksbury, taking care of it.
Yeah.
At what point did your mother-in-law?
About 18 years before.
Mills Senior?
No.
Junior.
Stayed on for a long time. Harry Lake's sister.
Yeah, the cook.
Yeah, she stayed on for a while.
She stayed on with the son.
Yeah. But it got to the point where Mrs. Mills couldn't keep her anymore. I mean, she would jump all the time. Oh, Christ, she drank like hell. Oh, God.
But your mother-in-law stayed on.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and Grandma lived right there.
She did live there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And she had a beautiful, Mrs. Mills was wonderful to her.
She was a hell of a nice woman.
Did everything for her. And Grandma wasn't that much of a cook. She was a good cook. But not the type of cooking that Mrs. Mills was accustomed to, you know, with all of the high-class stuff.
Well, probably Grandma was a plain cook. Like
that's
the
right.
Average person would eat.
She was, that's right. That's exactly right. But Mrs. Mills, there were a few things that that Mrs. Mills wanted, that she liked, and what have you, and that she taught Grandma to make, and then they specialized in it, you know, and so Grandma turned out to be a good cook after, you know. She could make pie.
She was no bigger than a minute, was she?
I know.
Awful nice lady.
Yeah. And he said, you look like you get some tires put in your car.
Yeah, I gotta take those down to North Haven. I guess Bob's getting ready to leave. This afternoon I gotta run those down.
So, as far as I know, that and Mrs. Mills stayed there until she died.
Yeah.
And
she died there.
She died there, yep. And she gave Earl She left her quite a sizable.
She did, so that he could retire comfortably.
And grandma had, she left grandma, she had $5,000, $4,000 something. Yep, and appreciate.
Was grandma working for her when she died?
She was, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Earl was too.
Yep.
So what happened? Now, Mrs. Fry, did she buy it from the family?
Yes, it stayed there for quite a while.
Nobody in it?
Nobody in it. And then Mrs. Fry sold her property, or was forced out of it by the state.
Where?
I don't know. What else? Wallingford?
No, where'd she get it?
Well, in 91.
Oh, in 91?
Yeah, and the state bought her property. She had to get off.
She was alone too, wasn't she?
Oh yeah, sure.
Was she ever married?
No, not that I know of. Not that I know of.
She lived there alone.
Yeah, sure. And I don't know too much about Mrs. Fry other than the fact that she was lame and that I liked her very much. What little I know of her, she came to the Historical Society and a few things like that. She was a nice lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but. So was Mrs. Knowles. Mrs. Knowles was a very fine lady. Mm-hmm. And we owe Mrs. Mills a debt of gratitude, I can tell you, because she took care of Grandma long after Grandma should have retired.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, she was family, apparently. She'd been there so long.
Yeah.